This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Take talk with you anywhere with the all-new Talk 1370 app. Listen to your favorite shows, keep up with the latest breaking news and more. Search for Talk 1370 in the App Store or find the links at talk1370.com.
It's anywhere I need.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We are fired up as usual. We got a great show tonight.
Hey, barely got recovered from last weekend's MotoGP.
But man, yeah. No kidding. That was a blast out of COTA this last weekend. But catch your breath because we got another race weekend at COTA coming up next weekend.
Hey, I hope you guys are ready. And guys and gals, this is seriously one of the ones that I call a family event race weekend.
Absolutely. The unprecedented fan access is the way COTA puts it on their website.
Well, that's true. That's true. I mean, how many times can you go and you can stand 5 feet from the actual race car and watch the mechanics throw wrenches and spin them and all the above?
Dude, you can get closer than 5 feet. I've seen they let kids and stuff get right up in them sometimes.
Yeah. And that's no exaggeration. I've seen with the team is slow and they're not, you know, they're all prepped. And the little kids come up and they're getting pictures, you know, with the car in the background. I've seen them raise the rope and let the kid come in and sit in the car. And, you know, mom or dad comes in and snaps pictures of the kid sitting behind the wheel. I'm like,
yeah,
good on you. That's going to bring us a new fan.
Well, let me run down what we got. This is John Massengill, and that's Les Kaiser here. Jonathan Green, he was out doing the Red Bull Rallycross, doing the track commentary for those guys. And I don't know if he's going to make it tonight's show or not, but
he may not have a voice left. He's doing that all season, so be sure and check out those guys.
Yeah, he's going to be traveling the whole season with them. But so tonight's show, we got Oz Negri, by the way, going to come in on the show live in about a half hour to talk about the IMSA race coming here to Austin. What's it called? The Advanced Auto Parts Showdown, I believe.
That's right. That's right. To me, it's one of the most exciting because it's a really busy weekend, and we'll get into all the details here in a little bit. But
so let me run down what else we got on the show, because we're going to talk a little Formula One, of course, because Valtteri Bottas, his debut win. In fact, we're going to get Inga Strecka is going to be, we're going to grab her in just a few seconds, I believe, and got to get her on the line, our European Formula One correspondent, and get her input on all that. We're also going to talk a little Moto America and World Superbikes, because Moto America was, after they left Austin, they went straight to Road Atlanta.
Road Atlanta, which is one of the coolest tracks. That's on my wish list. I got to check out Road Atlanta. I love the looks of it.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And so we're going to talk all of that. And we're also going to talk a little bit about last weekend's MotoGP because it was amazing, and talk about the crowd and everything.
Hey, but there's that new race coming. We got to talk about that. The World Series V8, their Formula Cars V8. And this is a World Series. It's legitimately a World Series. So we're going to get into that as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was officially confirmed this week, so we're going to talk about that. But let's go to some Formula One because we have Inga Strecka, our European Formula One correspondent, on the line. Inga, welcome back to Speed City.
Hi there. Good. I should say good morning.
Yeah, good morning for
good
you.
Good morning. You're up before the sun, I bet.
No, I'm still up.
Uh-oh.
Once I've talked to you guys, I finally go and get a little bit of beauty sleep.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and staying up late with us. And
my pleasure.
Well, how about this race? You know, on the surface, it kind of looks like, Bottas jumped out in front and Vettel was behind him for most of the race. It kind of looked like it was not that much action, but actually there was quite a bit, wasn't there?
There was. And you know, the funny thing is, up until now, the three Russian Grand Prix, every single lap had been led by a Mercedes car. So before the race, when I did my live ticker, my live commentary, I was saying, look, you know, this with two Ferraris in the front row for the start, this looks like the record is going to be stopped now. And then Bottas takes over and starts leading the race. I'm like, what's going on here?
Surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he jumped right out at the start.
That's like a rocket start.
Yeah. You were saying what I was saying. Yeah, he jumped right out and looked strong and right at the beginning, and obviously dominant the whole race.
Yeah, I mean, amazing. Like Niki Lauda, he took his hat off, which he rarely does. He said, I take my hat off, very well done, and he's the super coolest guy today.
Well, so I didn't see as much after the race. I mean, he's had to have just been emotional and ecstatic to win his first Formula One race. I mean, obviously he's been around and done well, but to win your first race, it's got to be incredible.
Well, let's say that for a Finnish driver, it was very emotional.
it was
funny. There was a scene where Bottas and Kimi were standing there holding those bottles, those big champagne bottles, and they were looking at each other. And I know the Finnish word for cheers is kippies. Probably they did say that, but I'm not sure if it was the right drink for them. They were like looking a little bit skeptical and they were not saying much. And you know, it's quite funny. It was an almost Finnish podium because Sebastian Vettel feels Finnish. He speaks Finnish. He's got Finnish trainer. I'm sure these three guys really enjoyed each other.
You know, it was great. But you talk about what Bottas was saying, John, and he really was just like, he said something to the effect of, it's about time, you know, because it's 81 or 82 races before he got there.
It was the 81st race, this one.
But, you know, he wasn't excited by our standards, but he was excited by Valtteri's standards.
Yeah.
And you know, he's actually a really good guy. Like, he talks very openly, like, you know, interviewing Valtteri compared to interviewing Kimi, you need a lot more time for Valtteri. And you get a lot more answers as well. It's actually pleasant to talk to him. And he does get up, you know, he parties, he celebrates, he's happy. He's a generally happy guy. But when you see him and we talk to him, you really do get the feeling he rests in himself, and he's very self-confident. So him saying it's about time is understating for his emotions.
You know, I've run into him here in the paddock in Austin and not had the opportunity to really speak to him, but watching others deal with him, unless his handler or his manager has him by the shirt sleeve keeping him moving, he does seem to stop and generally appreciate you taking time to speak to him. And so, you know, from that view, I really appreciate that in so many of the drivers, the way they handle that situation.
Yeah, and you know, and they got married over winter. His wife, she's lovely too. She's an Olympic swimmer. So they're both professional sports people. And I think that also just tunes him down, you know. He's like very relaxed.
Well, it is. And I know that Olympic trail as well. And she's a breaststroke competitor. And Olympic caliber, obviously she competed, I believe, in Argentina last. And I think Les
Les has a little bit of authority here. Both of his daughters are two or three.
All three of them.
All three daughters are swimmers.
Two of them have held records at one time. So, it's one of those things that a swimmer is a complete different athlete. They train so diligently. Their dietary, their training, it's not uncommon for them to spend 4 hours a day in the water. And so the mentality between an F1 driver and a swimmer, their approach is very methodical, very controlled. And so I could see how that personality works very well for him.
And that's actually a very good description if you compare Bottas' driving and Hamilton's driving. Hamilton is a genius. He's got it. And when he's got it and when it's going, it is going. Like, he'll pull out a lap and he'll pull out maneuvers where you're like, wow, amazing. And Bottas is more, just like you say, methodical. He's like, he looks at it, he approaches it, and he goes for it. And then he is consistent. So I think your description is perfect.
Well, Inga, I got to ask you, speaking of Lewis Hamilton, so what was your take on what was going on today? Obviously, he's having some trouble. They were saying the car was hot and to maybe not push it quite so much. So what did you find out?
I don't know if they were broadcasting more of his radio conversations than usually, or if he was just talking more on the radio than usually. I do not recall having heard him so much on the radio. He's asking, where are the others? He's saying, my car is hot. He's saying, what about the pressure? What about the temperature? Is the car okay? What about the pit stops? He was asking a lot of questions as if he was like worried or nervous.
I felt like he was trying to talk himself down and stay calm because he knew he was under the gun.
I don't know what it was, but it started on Friday. I mean, look at it realistically. Ferrari has been dominating every single practice session. And up until P3, we were like, well, maybe Mercedes were not just showing it all on the table. But then came qualifying, and you could see that Ferrari was really strong. And the one thing that was with Hamilton the whole weekend, and it reminded me a little bit of, I think it was Baku last year, when he didn't have a good start of the race weekend. He made a mistake this weekend in turn 13 a lot, like every now and again,
mm-hmm.
13
over and
was
over.
His problem. Yeah. And I don't know if he was nervous, if he was just not feeling comfortable in the car. Toto Wolff said afterwards, after the race, he said, yeah, he was not happy with the car from the start of the weekend.
Yeah, I think it's obviously, we know Lewis Hamilton, we know what he can do. So I think there was something going on with the car because he would not end up where he ended up. So it was great to see Valtteri Bottas and great to see Ferrari battling once again, as we've been talking about all season. But there's a couple other stories I want to talk to you about, Inga, because, you know, obviously with one of the stories is the Sauber contract story that came out. That's a really, tell us your take on that.
Well, it's really interesting. I mean, I think for me it was a surprise. There have been rumors about McLaren talking to Mercedes, possibly switching to Mercedes because they're not happy. I mean, you just got to watch Alonso's face, you know. Why is he doing the Indy 500, you know? And McLaren doing all they can, but they just don't have the power. You can see that on the straights as well. They're going, the power is there, but then the handling in the corners, especially in those sections with the slow corners, they're just nowhere. And then suddenly today, this morning, the announcement that Sauber have signed a contract with Honda starting 2018. They're running 2016 Ferraris this year, and it doesn't look like there's any chance that they get an updated or 2017 Ferrari. They're really struggling again, not as much as last year, but they do need a point, at least one. And now they signed with Honda. It's quite interesting. Are Honda going to keep McLaren? Is Sauber going to be a development team? Are Honda going to lose McLaren and going to just go to Sauber? Very interesting. Silly season started early.
I know. It's not just a silly season for drivers, of course, but silly season for manufacturers and engine makers.
Hey, before we leave the topic of contracts, it was brought up on the podium. Eddie Jordan brings up, and I was like, okay, it was funny, but not cool because he kept going on it with Bottas, you know, only has a 1 year contract. And he turns to Toto and says, you know, kind of break out the contract.
Yeah,
right there. And I was like, okay, it was a little funny, but he brought it up like two or three times right there.
Toto Wolff was like, okay, it's
I'm sure the
funny.
Negotiations will come into play soon.
It sounded a bit like as if EJ suddenly is managing Bottas, but I think it's still Didier Coton, and he's a very capable manager. And you could almost see that it was like Bottas was, Valtteri was feeling uncomfortable with this.
Exactly.
You know? EJ standing on the podium saying, give this man a 3 year contract.
You know, like I said, if he had said it once and left it and we laughed and we chuckled and we moved along with the rest of the podium, it would have been, oh, that's funny. Yeah, I bet Toto's rethinking that. Okay, and whatever else happens. But Eddie Jordan would not let it go. But if you know Eddie Jordan, that's Eddie Jordan doing it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, and that's why they get him up on the podium, because he's had the podium interest really long this time. Like, I was hoping I get to experience a bit more, you know, of the other drivers, but it was like all concentrated on the podium this time.
And now you know why they don't let me do podiums.
Hey, Inga,
how about huh?
can you
for them?
Hey, Inga, I'm sorry, can you hold on for just a second? We'll take a quick break.
Of course.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Speed City live from Austin, Texas. When we come back, a little more Formula One, and in about 15 minutes we got Oz Negri talking about IMSA coming to Austin next weekend. Back after these messages.
If you've ridden motorcycles in this part of the country for long, no doubt you know of Bud's Motorcycle Shop. Bud left this world a while back, but his legendary Harley service rides on. No longer is Bud's in downtown Austin. It is now Ravel's Heavy Duty, and they've moved out by the Formula One track. You'll see all the familiar faces, so bring in your new, used, and abused. But there's no sign of shiny showroom prices. So check it out at Ravel'sHeavyDuty.com.
The racetrack. It's where legends are born. Where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey. Because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road. Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas, with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
Keep up with the latest breaking news in Austin and around the world.
Take a moment to make sure you're following us on Twitter at Talk1370.
Let the tweeting begin!
Just one more way to stay connected with Talk1370.
The right choice.
I'm Cameron Bovier. I ride for Monster Energy Graves Yamaha, and this is Speed City.
All right, when we left, we were talking to Inga Strecka about Formula One. Inga, I know you got a couple things you want to talk about, but any other stories from today that jumped out of you? I want you to talk about Haas F1, but anything besides Haas F1, the pretty miserable race for them. But what else? What other stories besides Haas?
I think you were like talking about the silly season, right?
Yeah, we left talking about who's going to go where and what.
Right. So, did you hear the rumor that Mercedes and Vettel are talking?
Oh my gosh, that rumor I have not heard. No, Vettel wouldn't do that, would he?
No, I would think it's stupid because he's you know, in a really, really good car. He's finally, Ferrari's their way. And Toto Wolff said after the race, no, we are friends. We're having friendly conversations. They're actually neighbors, believe it or not, in Switzerland. he said, he himself, Toto Wolff himself said Vettel would be stupid to do something like that right now. Then there's also talks about Verstappen thinking of maybe leaving Red Bull. We will see to that. I mean, they were going to recover as well. They just got to, get a bit of a updates, and everybody's going to be bringing updates in Spain in a couple of weeks, I think. So it's going to be interesting and exciting.
You know, when she said Toto Wolff and Sebastian Vettel are neighbors, I don't know, what came to my mind was the Tim Allen show where the guy walks up to the fence and looks over.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah, like, Wilson.
Wilson. You know, it's like, yeah, hey, how's it going today?
What you doing over there?
I'm sorry, Inga. That was totally
probably
random.
Probably makes no sense to Inga, though.
Well,
maybe they were talking about all their kids. You know?
Yeah.
Toto Wolff now has a baby. So,
well, somehow I think it's probably a little different than a plain old picket fence between those two guys if they are actually like that close. But anyway, so
I wonder if they get together off race weekends and
roast barbecue, hot dogs on the back grill. So what about Haas F1 today? I mean, first things first, I want to ask you when Grosjean and Brilliant Palmer came together, whose fault was that? Was it just racing or was it somebody's fault?
I'd say it's a racing incident. I mean, the stewards took no action. Turn two, it was real all tight. And, you know, I would say racing incident.
Okay, well, Les, I was asking you said the same thing.
Yeah, I think it's a racing incident. And so let's go a little further in that because Inga certainly has more experience around the marshals and those guys. What delineates a racing incident from, you know, something that they would be penalized? I say that it was with intent. A racing incident wasn't an intentional, you know, bump or squeezing off the track or something like that. It was just part of racing, and it wasn't directed at the other driver. Is that a fair assessment of defining what would be a racing incident versus something with intent and subject to penalty?
I would agree with that, yeah. I mean, also, you know, if someone is crossing to defend his line twice and then they crash, that's or someone is turning in. Quite interestingly enough, I was just watching an old Ayrton Senna movie and seeing the racing incidents, which weren't racing incidents, in Japan when, you know, him and Prost hit each other. That was intent, like, probably.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
no doubt.
A turn two, right after the start, in, you know, all these cars around, three cars next to each other, I would say that was just a crash, an accident.
Yeah. Well, and man, did you guys see when Palmer came around and hit Grosjean? Just launched him, man. I bet he was 5 feet off the ground. And Inga, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is that when that happens to Mercedes or Ferrari, they've got, you know, tens and hundreds of millions of dollars is no big deal. And Haas is, you know, they've got money and they're not like, you know, about to die like, you know, on the vine from lack of funds. But that's got to make a big financial impact because that's probably a lot of money that just got smashed up there.
Yeah, and probably insurance does not cover it like when you have a road crash, right?
You didn't call a State Farm agent.
So. No, I don't think so. Yeah, right. That's, you know, and a lot of work for the guys because they have to redo the car before they can pack it up. But now they have to rush because everything has to be shipped back to Europe. So that's adding on the stress for the team as well.
Yeah, obviously it's a big deal for the team and everybody else. But so what about Magnussen? You know, he was languishing there 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th. You know, what do you think about where Haas is and where Magnussen is in particular?
Well, I mean, he finished where he started to start with, and that with a 5-second penalty for exceeding track limits. So he did get penalized by the marshals. It's tough to say, you know. I mean, Grosjean was continuously complaining about the brakes during the entire three practice sessions over and over again. He's on the radio so much. I mean, he was last year and he is this year again. They, from my knowledge, and correct me if I'm wrong, they were having Brembo brakes. Then they tested after the Bahrain race. They tested
Allied,
another brand,
I believe it is.
And they switched from all I've been, you know, finding out.
On Friday,
and
they actually
now
ran.
Now they need to get the new ones to work.
They ran Allied, I believe was the brand, on Friday. And he loved the way they felt. Everything was, you know, just beautiful, but they wouldn't last an entire race. And So they worked with the engineers trying to figure out if they could do anything to extend the lifespan of those, and they just wouldn't. And so that's why on Saturday they went back to the Brembo, and he's back where he was.
All right, I got one for you, Inga. So somebody on Twitter, when Grosjean was complaining about brakes again, which is, I don't know how many times now, the last year and this year, somebody said, okay, this is it. Grosjean's out. He's going to leave because they can't get the car right, because he obviously is a great race driver, because, you know, now we've had two good race drivers, last year Perez and this year Magnussen, that Grosjean consistently outperforms in the same hardware. So he's obviously, and remember, right before you came to Haas, he was
doing it.
Yeah, I mean, he was doing great. And so what do you think about that rumor that Grosjean is ready to exit Haas because they can't get the car right?
No, I don't think so. Because when, you know, when he's going, he's still going good.
Yeah.
The collision, who knows where he would have ended up if without the collision. I think it's partially, you know, every driver has their ways, and maybe partially it's Grosjean that he needs to complain a little bit. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's a good driver. He's doing good, and the Haas car, when it's going, is good. I'm just looking through my notes through the practice times and, you know, qualifying, and well, he could have scored points. Who knows? But I think let's have a look how he does in Barcelona.
Yeah, let's do that. Well, hey, Inga, I know when we spoke yesterday, you said you wanted to talk about the Monte Carlo and the Amber Lounge thing that was going on over there. Tell us what's going on. There's a charity event too, right?
Right. And, you know, I mean, Amber Lounge is the party to go of the whole season.
Right, of
course. All the drivers celebrate there. That's where the Monaco winner goes to celebrate usually. And it's run by Sonia Irvine, Eddie Irvine's sister. Now, for many years, she's doing a great job. But this year, I think it's really, really fabulous. And I'm really looking forward to going there, because on Friday, she always hosts a fashion show. It's Friday, May 26th. And she hosts a fashion show where they have the Formula One drivers on the catwalk, which is pretty unique. You know, I don't know if many other drivers or many other athletes do something like that. But this year, she's got Sir Jackie Stewart there. And he's got a charity, a foundation. It's called Race Against Dementia. They came up with some scary facts, I have to admit. And they're collecting, they're raising funds for research against dementia. And the press release I received was pretty moving, because both Jackie Stewart and Sonia Irvine's families are affected by it. And for them to openly say that is a pretty big thing. So I really hope that whoever is planning to come to Monaco is going to go there and help the good cause. At the same time, have a great time there, rub shoulders with drivers and VIPs. And I think it's a brilliant thing to do.
Well, we definitely know a few people. That's a great cause,
yeah,
too.
And send us a link, Inga. We'll retweet it for you. But thank you, Inga Streka, for coming on Speed City once again, getting us up to speed. And thank you for staying up late again. But thanks so much, Inga. And we'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure. I get some sleep now, so I can do the same thing for you guys again in 2 weeks.
All righty. Travel safe.
Thanks, Inga. All right. We're going to go straight to break, because we got Oz Negri coming on. We're going to talk to him about him and his Acura coming to Austin, Texas here in about a week. You're listening to Speed City live from Austin. Back after these messages.
Envy Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only Envy Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by Envy Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 Envy Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of Envy Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35. Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
If every talk radio program were the same, what would be the point? The Michael Berry Show is a little bit different. We're going to talk about politics, but we'll also talk about how great it is to live in Texas. Weekdays, 5 to 7 on Talk 1370. It's the Michael Berry Show.
Hi, this is Elena Myers, number 21, Moto America Superbike rider for Team 21 Motorsport and McGraw Power Sports Racing. You're listening to Speed City Radio.
So, Les, how did Elena Myers do? I know it was here in Austin. She was doing okay, like 12th or 15th. How'd she do in Road Atlanta?
She was doing okay. She's doing okay, but quite honestly, I got hooked on the lead pack, and she was not in the lead pack, but we'll talk some Moto America here in a bit.
She'll get there.
Oz has something else to talk about.
All right, we're very excited. We have our next guest, Oz Negri, who's been on the show pretty recently, but we got these boys coming to Austin.
He's got a parking spot outside.
So we got to get the latest skinny. Oz, welcome back to Speed City.
Thank you guys for having me again.
No problem. Well, you're probably packing up ready to come see us here in Austin.
Absolutely, can't wait. One of my favorite tracks and favorite cities that we go to, and I just can't wait. This time I'll have my wife and my daughter with me for the weekend, so you know, it's hopefully it will be a very special one for us.
And you know, the Saturday night's going to be free, so Oz can go learn to two-step like all the MotoGP guys did. Learn to dance,
perfect.
Country Western music.
Perfect.
We'll get y'all set.
Take him over to the Broken all Spoke.
Right. Hey, so, perfect, you know, things are going awesome. I mean, you know, last year there was another 40-inch tall car that had my lust, but the NSX has it this year for sure. And we're excited to see it arrive here.
I mean, am I a lucky guy or what?
I will say yes, in case you don't believe it already.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, a new program and very, very fresh one. We've been working so hard on the car, making a lot of progress. And all the work that Michael Shank Racing Team and the HPD engineers have put in paid off. We are tied fifth in the championship, 3 points out of third and 7 points out of second with a brand new car. So that says a lot about, you know, the work that we've been putting on. And, you know, this program has just been amazing with my co-driver, Jeff Siegel. You know, it's a new thing for me, you know, coming from a P car, driving the GT is very, very different. So I've been working a lot on the sim, learning a lot the lines for a GT car there at COTA. So hopefully everything will translate and we'll be good to go.
You know, I think it will. You know, that's one of the things I've had the opportunity to play on some of the sims that y'all work with. And I'll say it's remarkably accurate, though. In fact, I think you and I spoke about it. The turn 19 has a little roll off that's not quite replicated on the sim. So
I love
that technology, and certainly the Acura's got the technology all over, but you're running without the power assist, the electric power assist in this because of class rules.
Well, without the car, you know, obviously, the car had to be homologated by FIA, by FIA, and if we had, you know, the electrical motor in it, it would be no contest. The car has a lot of power, so you know, to bring us to everybody's level, they had to take it out. So we run a V6 twin turbo. And this thing's been running just like a Swiss clock. We've done the 24-hour of Daytona, never missed a beat.
Top five finish.
Never miss a beat. And you know, it's just been great.
You know what? It's kind of a bummer to me that you've got this cool technology. Like we've said before, when you guys are on the show talking about, there's not that many cars that have performance cars that are hybrids like this. It's like, I wish they would have let you dial back maybe both of them or something so you could continue to use the hybrid technology. So am I getting that right? You don't get to use the electric side at all, right?
No, we don't. It's not in the car. But yes, I agree with you. We should have it so people get more like into it and learn more about, you know, what it does and you know, what kind of extra power we can get and where we can get it. So
yeah.
I think it would be very, very cool if we could keep it. I'm all for it.
Yeah, well, you know, talking about where you could use that power, you know, coming out of the corners, anytime the car is slow where you've got instantaneous torque to, you know, especially combined with a turbo car, it's perfect. It's the perfect drivetrain in my mind right now, because you've got a small displacement engine, relatively speaking, you know, let's say compared to Corvettes and Astons and all that stuff. But you got a turbo.
It is the smallest engine, yes.
And you got to spin up the turbo, but you've got the electric motor. It's the perfect thing. I wish you could use that, but I don't have any at say at IMSA.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, they don't listen to us. But, you know, the one thing I'll say about this is the NSX is true to the street version of it. I mean, they really do use the same block, the heads, valve train. All of that is the same thing that you've got down at the dealership. And so don't feel like, you know, if you're one of the lucky few that has your hand on the new NSX already, that you're not looking at your car on track. You're just not seeing the electric hybrid portion of it. But it's still got the 3.5. It's twin turboed, all of that. I mean, so it's positively a wicked car. They're talking about 500 horsepower on the car, on the street, 406 for torque.
Yeah,
and it's not mentioning that it's gorgeous.
Yeah,
it's absolutely beautiful.
I saw my first one.
It's so funny that because like I said, doing a P car for so long. Now driving a GT, and I realize how much more the fans relate to you driving a GT car. It's a car that they can have. It's a car that they can see on the street, and now they can, you know, they see it on the racetrack. So hopefully we are gonna win a race pretty soon for the Acura fans.
You know, I know the last time we spoke, the only one that was around the team, Michael kept the keys to it, Michael Schenck. Have you got your hands on him yet?
No, he's still with him. I'm waiting for my turn.
Well, I want to jump in and talk about Austin specifically. I mean, look, we're going to be here. You guys are going to be here Friday and Saturday, and it's a fantastic day of racing, and we're going to talk all about the details and how to get tickets and all that stuff. But I want you to talk about what you guys have been doing to get ready for Austin, and specifically the challenges when you think of Austin and Circuit of the Americas. What do you think of immediately?
Well, it's a track that has absolutely every single type of corner. So it's almost impossible to set up a car for all the corners. You've got to, you know, give some of them up. So we've been talking with our engineers about, you know, what we want and which way we want to go with the car. We are coming from the three most different races that there is in the championship, which is Daytona, unique track, 24-hour race, Sebring, super bumpy, a 12-hour race, and then Long Beach, it's a street track, super bumpy, and the shortest race, an hour and 40 minutes. Now we're gonna go on the more kind of normal 2 hours and 45 minute race. So we are talking a lot about strategy and thinking a lot about strategy and how we are gonna approach that. And it will be good. I mean, it will be cool. The GTD class is the most competitive class. You know, it's got 17 cars, 16 cars for the race. Is the class with the most number of cars. So there's a lot that we've been studying competition, where are they strong and where are we strong, and you know, and just making getting prepared to make the right moves for the race weekend.
All right, well, you said some of that piqued my interest, and you may plead the fifth on answering this question, but you said something about you're going to throw away some curves to be prepared for the rest of the track. Which curves are you throwing away?
Well,
yeah, let's see if he answers it.
Yeah. Well, the car, let's put it this way, the car has to change direction very, very well and stop very well.
Good answer.
Yeah, I think we know where he's going.
I think
with
your
that.
Lawyer would approve of that.
Well,
seriously, I mean, it's a joy to drive on that track. You know, can't wait to get back there. Last few times we were there, we had good good car. I know this is different, but you know, we are just very confident, and everybody's been putting a lot of work. Team has been, putting all the brains together and to get this, our Acura NSX as far up on the grid as possible.
Well, so Oz, when do you guys start getting here? I mean, obviously the gates open on Friday, May 5th, coming up here. But when do you get to town?
I'll be landing Wednesday 9:30 a.m. I'll be there very early this time. We got a lot of meetings and track walk on Wednesday and you know, some more preparation. We want to get our driver change practice done early, so it's out of the way and sharp as it can be.
So let's talk. Do you have any superstitions? Did you talk about getting, you know, getting into town early?
Like no barbecue before the race, or
no? Really, I don't have any superstition. My take is that if we work as hard as we can, we do the best we can. What else can you? I mean, it's out of your hands. I truly believe that hard work works, and that's what we've been doing, and I've been doing for 14 years with Michael Shank Racing, and I'm very, very proud of it. Very proud to be part of the team associated with Michael. Great guy, great team owner. He wants to win as bad as I do, as any of us drivers. And talking about it, I mean, we have a phenomenal group of race car drivers in the 93 car and in an 86 car. We get along super well, me, Jeff, Andy, and Catwoman. it's been like we've been together forever. We are brothers and sisters, and it's been so cool, so much fun. We help each other, we push each other, and it's just been like one of those dream years.
Well, that's great to have a
team
like that.
That's
got to
be a lot of comfort right there.
Yeah. Well, I was just looking at CircuitOfTheAmericas.com, and you can go there and get tickets. And, of course, it is Friday and Saturday. And, you know, you brought up something. You said you got your wife and your kids coming down. This is obviously, we've talked about it being great for kids, but kids 12 and under free, just like a lot of the events at COTA. So it is a fantastic, great paddock access. Get down there and see the cars and meet the drivers and all that. And we really look forward to having you in town, Oz, in just a couple of days.
Thank you so much. And, fans come in and make sure to stop by and say hi and look at our beautiful Acura NSX and say hello to us.
Absolutely. All right, Oz Negri, thanks so much for coming on, and we will see you in a few days.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
Drive safe, buddy.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I love how excited he gets about coming to Austin, as well as the racetrack. That's just cool. And, you know, it's so much so that he's made it a family destination trip this time. So that says a lot.
That's got to be. I was just looking at CircuitOfTheAmericas.com. I was going to look at the ticket prices because you got a two-day pass for $79, single-day pass from $49. They've got the car corrals, too. Again, you know, they got the Corvette car corrals, and they've even got VIP and stuff like that as well. So it's I know that we've broken this off from years past when it was the World Endurance Championship and IMSA, but I just love the fact that we get two races out of it. But they
exactly.
But they've made it a full on event with all of this.
Well, and you know, don't feel like it's just one thing going on. I mean, let's talk about the Friday. You remember this race weekend is Friday and Saturday. So Friday, the gates open at 7:45. Get there. It starts off with the Lamborghini classes running. So that's a pretty darn cool event
yeah.
in itself to see all these Lamborghinis take to the track and run like the wild bulls they are. And then you've got the WeatherTech Championship going on. So there's a whole nother group of classes, all of them. Porsche, GT3, Continentals, Sports Car Series, all of those classes go through that. WeatherTech Sports Car gets on grid. Another one, the Corvette Corral Parade Laps are going to go on Friday afternoon, so be out there.
You know, and
then, like I said, it just continues. And then you go through another day of that on Saturday. Again, opening, be there when the gates open at 8, and it looks like everything's going to wrap up about 4:35 o'clock.
Well, you get the big race at 1:30. So
Yeah.
You get the big boys. So, yeah, and we keep talking about the Corvette Corral because they have that as part of the they do a lap. But they got BMW, Ford, Mazda, Mercedes, Porsche. It's exactly what Oz was referring to, where people can relate to the cars because you can not only do all the cars on track, but you can get together with all your buddies from all the different manufacturers and have the car corral. But we're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little two-wheel action. We're going to talk a little bit about last weekend, but also about what happened this weekend in Moto America and World Superbikes. Back after these messages.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Keep up with the latest headlines from Austin and beyond on the all-new Talk1370.com. Stay informed with the latest news, weather, contests, and more. It's all just a click away at Talk1370.com. Just one more way to stay connected with Talk1370.
Hi, I'm Will Hardiman, driver of number 19 WPD More Speed Porsche 991 Cup Car, and you're listening to Speed City.
Oh, man. Thanks, Will. I bet he's all geared up and ready for this. This is a big week home race.
I know. He's got to be excited. I don't think our producer realized that he just has a nice little intro back that's our hometown boy from Austin.
Yeah. We're going to see a couple of the hometown groups. You know, the More Speed team that Will's on will be there. You'll see Mosing Motor Cars entry as well. Plus, there's quite a handful of others that are throughout this region. So,
If
you want to cheer local, come on out.
Well, what about last weekend, man? That was crazy. So last weekend, we, the Speed City gang, Jonathan Green being the main man, of course, motorcycles. He was the lead commentator for the whole weekend.
We pretty much exited the booth when Kevin Schwantz comes walking. I was like, yeah. Tag, I'm out.
Yeah. So we just kind of filled in when Jonathan needed a hand. But yeah, it was an awesome weekend at COTA. And you know what, Les? I want to talk about something because I said this. I've said this before, is that COTA had this past weekend, it looked packed. I mean, obviously for a MotoGP race, it wasn't a three-quarters of a million people like, a quarter million people like F1.
You know, one of the things that I'm learning that I never paid attention to is really the culture of that arrives and attends the different racing.
Yeah, because they are very different, aren't they?
They really are. MotoGP is a little more, I'm going to say, not a small clique, but big cliques. They're brand loyal or they're rider loyal, and you'll see people that, you know, followed Rossi, that follow Marquez, or that follow the Ducati guys, and, you know, whether they're brand or rider-centric, they developed this. And I was talking to some of them, and just like, oh, yeah, this is where I met him, and he's from, you know, states away, and that this is where they get together once a year and hang out. And they get RV spots, or they camp out, or whatever. But they make a weekend with these people only see once a year. And I thought that was really cool.
And I totally agree. And what you're saying is exactly it reiterates the point I was about to make, is that I think that we've really built something. I say we here in Austin at COTA, that they've built something that's now very sustaining. Because a great example is the Ducati Austin event that we stopped by, and we've been by there every year because we know the riders are going to be there, right? The top, right. They're always going to have the one and two.
It's
rider.
Always fun to emcee it too, yeah.
And of course them being a sponsor. But that event has gotten bigger every year, and this year it was so huge that they couldn't handle it obviously inside the building, and it filled the parking lot, and it was overflowing into the area. And so, and then when I look in the stands and see how many people are there, and I'm like, this event is. Yeah. Has really turned into something big here at COTA.
It's cool. They added the Ducati crowd added a live band on site, and they were playing, and it truly is the place that I start my MotoGP week.
Yep. Well,
even if they weren't sponsors, you know, advertisers, and part of the Speed City family, that's the best place to start the week.
Yeah.
You never know who shows up. Not only the riders, but the fans also.
Yeah. Well, the rest of the weekend obviously went great. It was fantastic racing with Marquez. You know, we weren't sure what was going to happen. You know, all weekend long, it was like, Marquez, is he not going to win it this year? Is this going to be the very
gonna take
first
it?
Time? Right, he's Vinales, and then Vinales crashes out.
That was my broken heart right
yeah,
there.
Yeah. The reason I was most disappointed, and I wasn't sure if I really wanted Marquez to win or not, I just wanted to see somebody challenge him big
exactly.
time. And Vinales obviously had the opportunity.
I try not to cheer against somebody, but yeah, I like the competition.
Yeah. And so it was a great weekend. Moto 3, Moto 2, Moto America. It was a fantastic weekend, and it's something that if you haven't done and you're in the area, you got to make sure you go to next year. So let's talk a little bit about what's happened this weekend. You said you got to watch a lot of Moto America, Road Atlanta.
Road Atlanta was great, and it was just one of those things that just kept on getting better. And there was so much jousting between the riders and everything. Valentin De Vries and Garrett Gerloff were just hammering on each other. It was one of the best super sport races I have seen in the 3 years. They did not let up. They were on each other. You know, with Inga, we were talking about being methodical. Both these guys were really playing it up. Garrett was kind of, to me, I was wondering if it was purposeful, especially towards the end, that he was staying behind Valentin for a bit. And in the last bit, they just hammered on each other. Really was great. Valentin won it. Next up was Gerloff and Beach. And JD was looking good. He looked like he was just going to sit back and let those two boys brawl and then swoop in and take it. But the way things played out, he didn't quite get there. Road Atlanta, phenomenal sight. I want to go to Road Atlanta. So many architectural features of using the land through all the rolling hills and the S's and everything.
Yep.
There's quite a bit going on. But, you know, I want to talk about one of our favorite riders, Alex Rins. Took a tumble, and that's MotoGP. And anyway, just wanted to put it out there. He is out of commission for 6 weeks after his off. He's had pretty serious surgery, and so wish you the best, Alex, but we'll see you again soon.
Well, let's just real quick touch on World Superbikes. Is there, you know, I keep wanting to keep my eye on this because, you know, obviously I want to see our man, Nicky Hayden, do better. He's sitting at 11th on the new Honda and still hasn't gotten anywhere that we are hoping this year. But this weekend, both race one and race two were almost mirrors. Johnny Ray, Tom Sykes, and Marco Melandri 1, 2, 3 in the race one. Johnny Ray, Tom Sykes, and Chaz Davies and 1, 2, 3. But Nicky Hayden, we're still hoping he'll get up there, and we're going to keep an eye on him.
Well, you know, and Jonathan and I talked about it. I don't think it was on air. And it's like, you know, it might take him half the season to get that bike dialed in all the way. It is a brand new bike. It's completely, you know, from scratch, production bike. That is new on the grid. So he's like, it takes more time than you can imagine to get that sorted. So I'm holding my breath for Nicky.
All right. Well, speaking of Jonathan Green, I think we mentioned earlier in the show, this first weekend, he's going to be doing the commentary for the Red Bull Global Rallycross. Really cool gig he's doing for this year. And he got to catch up with two names you will absolutely know, F1 driver Scott Speed.
Yep.
And, of course,
Tanner Faust.
Tanner Faust.
Yeah. Well, and it's cool because we keep crossing paths with the Andretti family. And this is the Volkswagen Andretti Rallycross team that these guys are really taking off, and they're ready to go.
Yeah. Well, let's hear this. Jonathan did an interview with both Scott Speed and Tanner Faust. Here we go.
Hey, Speedy City fans, a great weekend for Global Rallycross to start off 2017. I'm with the man who made it happen once again, the two teammates, Tanner Faust, Scott Speed. Scott Speed taking victory again, but it was close. First of all, Tanner, boy, you fought hard all weekend.
It was a tough fight. You know, when you qualify second, you don't have the best starting position, so I'm pretty proud to be able to come back and finish second, frankly. Always running in the same heats, which last year we really were in separate heats going at it. So I saw a lot of Scott's rear bumper this weekend, able to get by one time. But honestly, it's just it's great for the team. These guys, you never know where you're going to end up in the first race of the season. 6 months is a long off season, so you don't know if Honda's going to come out with something crazy or Ford with something crazy. But the Volkswagen engineers went at it. And obviously, their legendary engineering prowess is paying off.
And Scott, you picked up where you left off. It was close last season, but I think the most noticeable thing at this very fast track that is Memphis was the starts by the Beatles. I mean, brilliant. Every time you managed to nail it. Is that just something that the car is good at?
Well, I think that it's a whole package. Obviously, we nailed all of them except for one. We had one hiccup, but it's part of the game. Like Tanner mentioned, it's a team effort. We have, you know, I think the best in the business from the top down, and I think it shows, and it's good to see that after all the hard work that everyone has put in and all the time that we've put in, when we came to the first race, we have a result like this.
You guys ready to go toe-to-toe again?
I got to say one thing. You know, Tanner and I have been teammates now for 4 years, and we have yet to run into each other. Knock on wood, because I think there's just a great camaraderie and a great mutual respect between us. And I think that's, you know, a big part of the success we have as a team as well, because we do work together so well and we, you know, have that respect.
Are you going to win the Kentucky Derby?
The Kentucky Derby. Okay.
That's where we're going next, Louisville.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously going to try. We both push hard. Just because we haven't crashed into each other doesn't mean we're not racing. But I think both of us enjoy the actual racing thing rather than just crash derby style of driving. So I think it puts a good show on for the fans, and I think we did that in Memphis. These guys certainly haven't seen anything like this around here at MIR. So when we go to Kentucky, hopefully we put on a great show for those guys too, and we make some new Rallycross fans.
Well, great stuff by both of you. Congratulations. A 1-2 for Volkswagen. We'll see you next time in 3 weeks' time.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Man, that is such a cool sport, Global Rallycross.
I'm getting hooked into it more.
Oh,
so.
Man, it's awesome. My sons love that. That's like their favorite racing.
Okay, but you kind of grew up doing it before they called it that.
Well, that's true. I was grew up in the dirt and Bastrop. All right, we got to go. We're out of time. Thanks for tuning in. Check us out next weekend because we're going to be doing the show on Sunday night as usual, but we have lots of interviews from the IMSA race.
Son, why are all four shocks blown out?
Get your tickets. CircuitAmericas.com. Talk to you next week.
Against the West Coast. Wanna go. Get breaking news, exclusive contests, and more delivered right to your inbox.
I like knowing things.
Join the Right Choice Club at Talk1370.com and you'll be in the know. Just go to Talk1370.com and click on the Right Choice Club from Talk1370.
The Right Choice.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.